Welcome to episode 25 of the Guardian Project Podcast. I'm your host, Andy, with two intros today. So I'm going to do them.
Go ahead.
I'm your host, Andy Flory. And like the sucker I am, I purchase Secret Lair bundles. But for some folks, they're a little bitter blossom about it.
Wow.
Wait.
I'm proud and disgusted.
Here's my second one.
Okay. Right.
I'm your host, Andy Flory. And Magic the Gathering is like an ogre. It has layers.
Wow. You're such an onion.
Oh, such an onion.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And, you know, a lot of people think Sarkhan is a busted planeswalker. I think he's unbroken.
No.
Please listen carefully.
This is a podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
What do we have on the agenda today?
This week we're joined by Austin Davis from the Mana Vault. He's going to talk about his channel and the work that goes into creating modern meta matchups and Pioneer gameplay. We're going to talk a little bit about how much we play the game Commander per week. It was a question that was posed online. And then we're going to talk about another Commander of the Week. The first Mono Black Commander of the Week. So proud.
And probably not the last.
Oh, I've got like 12, so.
So we'll go ahead and start with our first topic. Welcome, Austin, from the Mana Vault.
Hello, nice to be here.
So before we get started and we talk about your channel, we have three questions for you as a guest.
Always.
When did you start playing Magic?
I started playing Magic in 2014. It was right after Khans of Tarkir had come out.
Okay.
So the first decks I actually played, I picked up the intro decks for M15 at the time. I picked up the black-white deck, I believe it was.
Okay.
So I had started playing. There was a couple friends of mine back in college that realized that they both played when they were younger, I think around 8th edition. So then they brought a couple of their old decks. So I guess I technically got to see a couple of those decks first.
Okay.
But the first deck that was mine was that intro deck from M15.
That's very awesome. Nice, very nice. Your favorite plane, do you have one?
I don't necessarily have a favorite plane, but I do like a lot of them. Basically, every plane offers something different to the game, and I really just like seeing new things. Obviously, I like Khans because it was one of the first sets that I joined during. One of the nice things about that is that it's so multicolor heavy. Mm-hmm. It's based on, you know, all of the three colors.
Three color wedges.
Yeah, the wedges.
Yeah.
So I really like the multicolor aspect of Magic. You generally get more powerful spells and creatures and everything.
Yeah, but not
because when you're forced to play multiple colors.
Yeah, but not playing mono black, you can play multiple colors.
So with all those extra colors on all those cards, you get to have more fun abilities. And
yeah.
So Savage Knuckleblade was always one of my favorite cards.
That's the teamer, cool. And he has morph, right?
No. It's the teamer. It's a 4/4 for three.
He's got three.
But it has three activated abilities. For red, you can give him haste. For green and two, you can give him +2/+2 till the end of turn. Mm-hmm. But you can only activate that once in a turn.
Okay.
And then for two and a blue, you can actually return them to your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, I love cards that have all the things on them.
Yeah. It just seemed like that set would be really fun to draft and to go three colors. Yeah.
It was. I started playing more competitively during Khans.
Right.
Because I started playing a little earlier, so I do like Khans. And then the last question, do you have a favorite commander that you play with?
Favorite commander that I play with? It changes all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
And I just kind of go through the rounds, and sometimes I even cycle back to decks that are years old.
So I'll play them. If you had to pick your favorite.
Right now, Torbran is the thing just because it's new.
Mono red. I played with Austin on Sunday, and I got to politics my way into surviving and then winning, which got very lucky.
But historically, I like my Sultai deck with Muldrotha a lot. Yeah. That was always one of my favorite
ones.
And
you also have the Bant Bird. Which one is that again? Do you just put it into the battlefield from the command zone?
That was one of the first decks that I actually really...
Derevi?
Derevi,
was the first one that I took out of the box and then made modifications to.
Sure.
So it was like my second main commander deck. I actually kind of took it apart at one point because I didn't really abuse Derevi that much. I used it more as a... a flicker type of deck,
because
Bant has a lot of good cards to flicker and has all the cards that can do that.
Yeah.
But when Anamatu came out, I kind of took out Derevi and switched into Anamatu. So I lost green, but I picked up black. So
yeah.
Got to change it up a little bit.
That's, well, very good.
That's because black is the best color.
Sure.
I love it so much.
So let's talk about your channel. Tell us a little about the Mana Vault, how you came up with the idea for the channel, and what all is involved.
Yeah, so our channel, relatively new. We started at the end of August of this year, so we've only been around for 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how that works? Yeah, 4 months.
Yeah,
almost.
It's December.
End of August, so we're only a little over 3 months old. So we got the idea back probably towards the end of July, beginning of August. One of our friends at the shop had an idea. He wanted to start up a YouTube channel. So there's five of us that are like the main core members of the channel. And we just, our goal is to make content that's enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main things, one of the main inspirations for us as far as how we make our content, we looked at the Command Zone. Everybody likes to watch their game nights videos. Those get more views than any other Magic content there is.
I'm sure.
Because they average 1 million views on every video they put out.
Top notch videos.
I didn't realize that.
So, and those are fun to watch, right? Like, it's, you see a lot of Magic gameplay. Like, the more into Magic you are, the more gameplay you watch, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they are able to capture a lot of people that aren't necessarily super into watching anything else. A lot of the people that go and watch their channel only watch their gameplay.
Yeah.
Yes. They don't watch MTGO or anything like that.
Or their podcast episodes necessarily.
Yeah, it's hard to watch
MTGO. Let's be honest, MTGO is not the best thing to watch.
Especially Commander.
Arena is better to watch, but Arena you're limited to Standard and now Brawl occasionally. And
only on Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays.
On recording night, so I don't stream Brawl because I record the podcast.
Oofa doofa.
So we looked at that. And we wanted to try to at least encapsulate a little bit of what they do, at least in their early days, because obviously we don't have the budget, we don't have the manpower to do everything that it is what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at some of their original videos, which are still good, fun to watch, we figured we could try to target that and try to do what they're doing there. But not for Commander. We wanted to target Modern because Modern doesn't really have anything like that. The closest thing to it would be what Star City does.
Is that Star City?
They do
versus?
Like the Star City versus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing with that is there's like no animations because it's basically just a live shoot.
Yeah.
So you're basically watching a recorded version of something that I think they actually stream maybe on Twitch. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just about jamming games, really, which is good too.
So that's fun to watch. But sometimes you get a little bit bored while there's, especially in Modern, there's a lot of shuffling with the fetch lands.
Yep.
And there's a lot
you don't say.
Yeah. A lot of things you don't necessarily want to watch.
Sure.
And can get boring. So what we do is we edit all that stuff out. And we just want to make it so that the viewer can see everything important to the game, but not see any of the boring stuff, I guess.
Cool.
To make it easy for them to see as well with the animations we do.
And they can still learn from it and everything. Right.
And so you don't do just Modern. You also do Pioneer, and you also have some videos of some box openings, which is...
That's right.
You know, it gives me the satisfaction of not having to spend all the money, but watching all the cards get opened.
I love it.
Yeah, so the Pioneer, once that format was announced, we knew that we wanted to target that as well because it's a brand new market.
I love it.
It's similar enough to Modern, and you can only play it in paper or MTGO.
Mm-hmm.
MTGO is not very fun to watch. Like, I mean, I know there's some people that really do enjoy MTGO. I think a lot of people don't. And I think people that even do enjoy it agree that it's not necessarily great.
And I think one of the benefits, though, of MTGO is that you can rent those decks, yes. Which is probably one of the best ideas that someone came up with. Because I don't want to pay... And I'm going to say almost as much as paper, but in some cases, some of those decks are almost as much as it is to just buy it in paper.
They're normally at least half.
At least half. But even at half, if your deck is an $800 deck, I'm still not spending $350 or $400 online. I'm not. I'd rather buy it in paper at that point, just bite the bullet. But you can rent it by having a subscription that might cost you $30 a month or mm-hmm. $40 a month.
I do think playing and watching, I mean, is kind of two different categories uh-huh. too. MTGO is hard to watch.
It's also hard to play. It's not that intuitive. Like, right. The controls are not that easy.
Yeah, you need to know them.
Misclick for days. Yeah. I mean, that was me. You click through and you're like, oh, I just clicked through.
And there's no shortcutting. I mean, you could do like... Yeah.
Oh, you mean you have to play out combos, right? Yeah, combo decks are not good on modern on MTGO because
you'll time out.
Some people, if they have, they presented it, and you know for a fact if it was in paper, they would win.
Yeah, you'll concede.
You would just say, yeah, you got it. But on online, if you make someone play through it and then they time themselves out, which is pretty crappy, honestly. Yeah. But
you
that
can't
happens.
Shortcut the same way that you can in paper.
Correct. Right.
Shortcuts are allowed in paper.
That's right. Right.
Wow. So Pioneer and
So Pioneer, we started similar to modern. Everything is done in the same way. I'm not the host of the Pioneer show. I'm actually the host of the Modern show. But one of our friends, JC, is the guy that's doing Pioneer. We're calling it the New Frontier, where we play Pioneer.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Kind of a play on the fact that everyone, as soon as Pioneer was announced, everyone's like, this is basically just Frontier, isn't it? But right. a little bit, it has two extra blocks basically in it.
Mm-hmm. I played Frontier for the 4 weeks that it was popular.
Yeah.
I played that deck that was just in Soul Artifact on Smuggler's Copter, which I can't do anymore.
Banned.
Smuggler's Copter is banned. But yeah, I played it. It's essentially the exact same deck with just additional lands.
Yeah, so we did the Pioneer. And then as far as the box openings go, that's something that we aren't focused on, but it's something that when there's new products that come out, that's the target time for when we want to open them.
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't think there's a whole lot of people that are going to be interested in watching Throne of Eldraine, but there's still definitely going to be people that want to watch those box openings.
Sure.
But
I mean, even
as time passes, people are going to be less interested in watching older, new old product. If you go old enough,
right.
people are going to be interested in watching something like Onslaught or something crazy like
Ravnica
that.
Ravnica City of Guilds.
Right.
Something real old.
Yeah. I mean, even a channel like Tolarian Community College that does mostly, you know, like info videos, they still do box openings too on the new stuff.
Well, whenever the new stuff comes out. Yeah. So we did that deluxe edition back when it came out for Throne of Eldraine.
Mm-hmm. You did a Modern Horizons box.
Did a Modern Horizons box and some collector packs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably, the next opening probably won't be till Theros comes out. And it probably won't be a regular box. We'll probably be opening collector's packs again because those have been confirmed to come out with it as well.
Yeah,
nice.
So we'll either do that or maybe the deluxe edition if they do that again. Which, knowing them, they never do anything just once. They do it multiple times until it fails.
There's actually there's going to be collector's packs for Ikoria now as well.
Oh really?
Yeah, that was released on the Wizards of the Coast Play Network product page.
Take my money.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Gosh dang it.
I am curious in what they're gonna do with those, like the alternate art kind of deals. Like we had the storybook cards. It's like, what are they gonna do for Theros? And then what are they gonna do for Ikoria?
Because the storybook or those alternate
that was cool.
frames, those are something that's supposed to be existing from now on, and like you're gonna be able to get them easily out of those collector's packs like you were able to in Throne. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that. And I guess I wonder if these planeswalkers are going to continue on throughout now. You know how they did the borderless versions or the borderless versions of each of the planeswalkers for this set. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. So where can everyone find your channel?
So we are on YouTube, and you can just search for us by typing in The Mana Vault. You can also find us at themanavaultyt.com. It'll take you right to our YouTube page. So that's where you can find us on YouTube. You can also find us on Facebook by just searching up The Mana Vault. I think it's facebook.com/themanavaultyt to get there. Twitter and Instagram are both vault_mana.
You got to flip them there.
Yeah. We had to flip them a little bit. Our name was already taken. So for both Twitter and Instagram, it's vault_mana.
Okay.
So today should be live now, should be live maybe just later today.
This episode goes
live. Your video for Modern Meta Matchups where Coil joined them to play some games should be live.
Yeah.
Yep, for some Infect versus Pants on Boys Boggles.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun one to watch. You can see myself take on Coil. We played some Modern, got the Infect versus the Pants on Boys.
Pants on Boys.
Yep. It was a lot of fun. I actually have an Infect deck, but I was playing Boggles on that one. So it was fun to play a new deck. It was actually Andy's deck.
It was. We don't talk about Modern a ton on this podcast. So do you guys want to tell them briefly what each of those decks are, Infect and Boggles?
So Boggles is a bunch of hexproof creatures that you can get down real cheap normally for one mana. And then you put some pants on them, which means you put some enchantments on them that boost them and give them extra power, maybe get some lifelink, and you swing at your opponent until they're dead.
Yes.
And then for the infect, I'm sure you've seen it in Commander. Mm-hmm. 10 poison counters and you lose the game, even in Commander. Mm-hmm. Works the same way in Modern. So similar to the Boggles, you're trying to play a one mana threat. There's also a two mana threat. But it's just a simple 1/1 that has a special keyword called infect. So all you're doing is playing those out. And instead of enchanting them up, because they don't have hexproof, so your opponent can just
remove them
a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You play a bunch of pump effects to buff their power and toughness till the end of turn. So you basically try to kill your opponent in one or two attacks by just getting in for 10 damage all at once or over the course of a couple turns.
I like saying if you play burn, but you have trouble counting to 20, just play infect because you only have to count to 10.
Does it play for Modern Horizons? Does it play scale up now? Is that
it? Does play scale up.
Does it play four of? It's a staple now in that deck. Or
The version I played plays four. I think some might only play three, but it's pretty much a good card. I mean, one mana to turn your infect creature into a six powered creature is pretty good.
Yeah. So this will be the first time I see that gameplay.
Yeah.
The infect deck, was it just green blue or was it green blue white?
This version was just green blue. It was the classic.
No. What? Okay, so you can.
So normally, you would, if you were to play white, you splash white for probably some sideboard cards. But in as far as in the main deck, you'd be playing Giver of Runes.
So good.
Because she gives
it allows you to. It gives you unblockable or protection. Yeah. So whatever you need at the time.
Including protection from colorless.
That's true.
Yeah, she can do that. That's pretty cool.
And then the other card would be Teferi, Time Raveler.
Yep.
Because it basically says your opponents can't try to remove your guy when you're trying to pump him up.
Yep. Yeah, most people play that in the side. I play that in my main. And I don't know if it's good or not because I don't play enough of it. The three fairy.
Yeah.
Because, then you can't get instant removed.
I don't have an infect deck, but we have played Boggles versus infect, and it's just... Fingers crossed who gets the better turn one and turn two.
You got
it. It's just opening hand for those two.
When Boggles has the path to exile, they have a much higher chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't draw any, good luck.
Good luck.
Because it's hard to get around a infect creature that has at least four or five or six toughness or power. Because then you just get those minus counters.
Yep.
It's no good.
No good.
And then I don't know if you wanted to give a little preview, but Andy's going to be coming into a film, not a Modern Meta matchup, but a Pioneer episode with JC.
The New Frontier.
The New Frontier.
This weekend, I'm recording on Saturday with JC. I will be playing Blue-White Control.
Oh, surprise.
Is anyone surprised?
Nope. Producer Ryan's
super surprised about it. So,
but wait, Hogak's not allowed in that format.
It's banned.
Are you surprised anymore?
Oh, he's super upset. Man.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he looks really upset. Not legal, but I haven't decided on the deck list yet. I should be getting that. I was supposed to have it yesterday, and then I didn't finish it yesterday. And we're recording tonight.
Is that because you were gonna put a bunch of smuggler copters in there, but now you can't anymore?
That's exactly why. I was really upset because after the banning, I added banned cards and was like, oh shoot. I gotta take all these banned cards out. No. I'm trying to decide between a few different deck lists. There's a couple of cards that I do and don't like, and I haven't decided which one I want to play yet. But just playing blue white stuff. I didn't play Torrential Gearhulk when it was legal.
I love that card.
And there's four of it in the deck.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good card.
I played Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. So if you were frustrated seeing it then, I'm sorry, because he's coming back.
Yeah.
But Jace Vryn's Prodigy, right? So we got him. He'll be back. I didn't play that when it was standard legal because I sold them when they went up to $20.
Oh, that was a mistake.
And then five weeks later, they were $120. Oh, man. That was my biggest mistake. Hey, but so
Oketra's Last Mercy, it's going to get up there eventually for you.
You want a stockpile of Oketra's Last Mercy? I got you. I got like 40. Like a whole 6 cents for each card.
Yep.
So we're recording that this weekend. So in the next couple of weeks, that'll be edited and will come out. So we'll tweet about that as we get closer. So I'm excited. And then I think JC is also going to be playing Hardened Scales for that. So it was just two decks that we each wanted to play. I didn't pick anything specifically to match up.
But right.
We'll see how it goes.
Now, Hardened Scales got hit at least a little bit, right, from the Once Upon a Time ban?
I think the list he was actually planning on running didn't have Once Upon a Time.
Wow. That's surprising. That's
which
really
was probably a mistake.
But yeah, you should probably run that if you can, but Melt Knight.
But
yeah.
Now he doesn't need to worry about now it because yeah, he now wasn't planning on running it anyway. He
laughs in everyone's face. Ha! I don't have to change my deck at all.
Nope. Well, yeah. So Once Upon a Time, that's still legal in Modern.
Yes.
Still legal in Modern, Legacy, and Vintage.
It's not legal
in Commander.
And it's not legal in Standard either.
It's not legal in Standard or Pioneer.
Nope. That card is so good.
Yeah, Freeze Spell.
Yeah, it was my favorite on turn two when you knew you already had your second land. You cast it to find just a better one or better turn two drop instead of the one you already had in the Simic Flash deck. That was great.
Yeah.
Veil of Summer is the same way. Banned in both Standard and Pioneer now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw they had a GP over in Europe a week ago, I think. Legacy GP.
Mm-hmm.
They had like 1,600 people at that thing. It's like one of the highest attended GPs in a long time.
It's crazy.
And it was for Legacy, but the winning deck
format.
Winning deck had two Veil of Summer in the main.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, green doesn't need anything else powering it up, right? I feel like people are in the zone where they're like, you know what? Green, you need to go away for just like at least 6 months. Like, please just go away. Like, you can be relevant, just not every important card.
Let's pump up black again.
Yeah, I think Wizards is just super high on green right now.
You know,
they've had a lot of really good green cards lately, and if you look at that first of the Commander, well, I don't know what they're called, similar to like a spell book. I don't know the name of the product off the top of my
Commander's
head.
Commander's Arsenal?
No, it's not the Arsenal. It's similar to like the spell book, like the Jace's spell book or the Gideon spell book.
The next one that's coming out next year, the green one.
But it's not a spell book. It's its own thing, and it's meant for Commander.
Is it just called Commander Collection? No, Commander. We talked about it on the podcast already.
It could be the collection,
And it's specifically but the
they're
color
doing,
green.
They're doing green they're for doing, the first one. So I think they've just been very high on bumping up green lately, and want everybody to play green, and hopefully white's next.
No. You know, they do really need to give white either a new niche, or they need to just really up the power on white, because I feel like we always dog on white. I mean, I think everybody does. Unless you're playing a few specific commanders that are mono white. There's like four.
Yeah, it's like especially coming from the perspective of Commander, white needs help.
And they just need to give it like we need like over the next like few years, we need more like Smothering Tithe power level cards for white, because then people would be more drawn to playing that color.
You know, Morrow actually has come out and talked about that and said that the color pie really is the biggest thing restricting white. Like, they still want to be faithful to the color pie, and it's hard. And Commander is not a format that they normally, or they used to at least, design cards specifically for. So standard's supposed to be low to the ground, hit you, and your opponent, you only have one opponent, and they have 20 life.
Right.
So,
Since we're talking more about Commander now,
yes.
Our second topic is a question that we found online that it really asked whether or not the amount of time that you play Magic affects how you build your decks.
Yep.
And then to expand on that, we want to talk about whether or not it affects, or we think it does or does not affect how much money we spend on the game, or what types of cards obviously we play.
Right.
I guess deck building. So I figure we could start with how often we play and the formats we play.
Sure. I play Commander at least twice a week. I'm in a Monday league and a Friday league. And then a lot of times our kind of normal pot of people will get together on Saturdays. And then every once in a while, like last night, I got together with a couple people and played Commander there.
So you're two to four nights a week.
Two to four nights a week Commander. And then Modern, I'll play As of right now, it's once a month, but that's because I was building a new deck and I finally have it all together. So it might go back to once a week. I finally finished my Hedron Crab Vengevine deck. So hopefully I'll go back to once a week for Modern.
And then I play also in the Monday Night League. I haven't been playing on the Friday League, but I play on Sunday afternoons, just casual.
Yeah.
And then if our group gets together on Saturdays, we'll do that. But a lot of the time after FNM, Coyle and some other folks will sometimes just come over and we'll just play later.
Yeah.
Like at our house. And so.
So I'll play like 8 hours of Commander on Fridays.
Yeah. I mean, I think this last week it was like 2 a.m. and we're like, all right, we need to go to bed.
Yeah. So you stop playing your deck that takes 20 minute turns. You know who we're talking about. It's not you
know,
one of us.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
And we have to be done. But so I think we both play. So I guess if I play on Monday and I play on Sunday, and then sometimes occasionally I'll play on Fridays now. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm free again on Tuesdays, this week I went to draft.
Yeah.
So I got to play draft. I would say I'm also from 2 to 4 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do play a decent amount on Arena.
Yeah.
So I do at least my daily quest. So even if it's only like 2 or 3 games just to hit whatever it is that I'm supposed to hit. So I would say I probably play every day just, right. You know, because of that. And then I likely Google or do something every day just because when I'm sitting there, you just do it. So I think that kind of segues to the next topic, which is because the amount we play, does it affect, let's say how much we spend on the game?
Yeah.
So I think we both would say we spend more.
A lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem.
It's a problem. I know when I first started, it was just like, when I first started playing Commander, it was I had decks and they were fun to play. And I was like, but I really want to win a game. And so I bought a couple more cards to upgrade the decks. Like, but I really want to, win more. And then all of a sudden I had a mono black Sidisi Storm deck. I was like, oh,
this Wait, is. You want to tell everyone how you won every time? There was like one of two ways.
You want me to go through?
No.
Okay.
It was either infinite mana or not infinite, like a ton of mana into Torment of Hailfire or a ton of mana into an Exsanguinate.
That wasn't even the Storm deck. That was just my normal mono black deck. The Storm deck won with Aetherflux Reservoir triggers.
Oh, yeah. There was also that one, yeah. I guess. But so, yeah, I think you did. You bought more to get more competitive.
Yes. Yes. That was originally, yes. And now it's more, the more I play my decks, the more I realize, oh, it could use a little bit of this. It could use a little bit of that. So I'll buy cards here and there. In fact, I have some cards coming in to upgrade my Morophon Everything tribal deck because I noticed that the mana base was definitely crippling that deck in some games. So I picked up some rainbow lands to help the mana base. So, yeah, and I guess playing more would say you look for weaknesses in your deck and you try to improve them. You end up spending more money.
Sure, and I think I don't play standard and paper anymore. So we used to play standard and paper a lot when Amonkhet and Kaladesh and Ixalan were in standard.
Yep.
And then when Arena came along, because I didn't want to play on MTGO, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of briefly touched on that. It's not the most friendly user face. Arena came along and I said, well, this looks like Hearthstone.
Yeah,
it did. Magic, you know, it's a friendly user face. It's attractive. It is smooth. It had its kinks. They've worked a lot of those out now.
Yeah.
But now when each set comes out, I might buy like that bundle for like, I don't know what it is. Like, is it, it's not $99.
I've never spent money on Arena.
I have.
Know.
So I do the bundle where you get like a certain number of packs, you get like 2 of the promos.
Okay.
And so you get that bundle and I'll open that.
Yep.
And usually it gives you enough wild cards that you can make like 1 decent deck. And then when you play enough of your daily quests and then you just win actual cards by opening packs,
yep.
you can make enough to get like maybe a second or even in some cases a third. And especially if you're playing a competitive deck like the Cavalcade of Calamity deck, which is majority not like commons and uncommons.
Right, yeah.
I think your rares are Torbran, Castle Embreth, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So you have 8 rare wild cards and the rest are commons and uncommons. And you don't have to count your lands. You don't even need anything, you know, because you have lands.
Right, because it's mono red, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to spend any money. So like that deck is very good and you don't have to spend money on it.
Yeah.
But I find that I spend money now on Arena for Standard, but I'm still buying cards for Commander.
Right.
So I know there were a lot of people worried about whether or not Arena was going to destroy paper magic, and I think the answer is it's not.
It's not.
In fact, for people that like to play Standard at FNM, they're spending double money because they want to play it to practice on Arena,
definitely,
but then to play that same deck in paper.
Yeah, if you're looking at the numbers for people playing Standard and paper going down, just know that that was Oko's fault. That's just the state of Standard right now. People are still jamming games all the time
all
in
the
Arena.
Time. Oh, yeah.
So it's just the state of power in Standard decks right now, which is keeping people away from playing in paper. I mean, once they balance things, once Theros comes out, things will come and they'll be new, and then those numbers will shoot right back
up. I know a ton
up.
Of people are excited for Theros, so I expect there to be a decent shift, and I think just banning Oko and some of the more broken green cards in Standard have at least started to make a positive change on Standard. So, the amount we play affects how much money we spend, because I agree with you. So you played it, you found some issues, you ordered more expensive cards for your mana base. I find that I'll play a deck, like I have a Torbrand deck and Austin has a Torbrand deck, and mm-hmm. he played like three cards that I don't even run in the deck, and I was like, you know what, those work way better than the three crappy cards that I have, because I at first kind of started with, I only want to spend like $50.
Yeah.
And I already had a lot of the red cards, because you don't throw a lot of red cards into, I don't build a lot of red decks, so I didn't use them anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I after I left, I said, well, maybe I can just, you know, put these into my cart on TCG Player for now so I don't forget about them, or just write them down. I wouldn't have bought those had I not played against that Torbrand deck.
Right.
And I find that some people have told me the same thing when they play against a card in one of my decks. They're like, what is that card even?
Right.
Like what? Like I play the card Overburden in almost all of my decks that run blue. It's two for an enchantment. This is whenever a player casts a creature spell, they have to return a land to their hand. You know what? That card's really good on turn two in Commander against someone who's playing a creature deck.
Yep.
It doesn't do a whole lot to you if you're playing a Spellslinger deck.
Right.
And I've had people say, you know what? Maybe I need to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And that card has shot up in price. I think it was super underrated before.
Mm-hmm.
Foils are like at 60 now? 40?
They're like 80.
They're like they're at 80.
Yeah, at one point they were up to like 200, but I think they fell back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, people probably were like, oh, I have a $200 card. Let me sell that one card that I'm not using. Yeah. Yeah, even Austin, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. He goes, how many Overburdens do you have? I said, well, I have the foil one when I foiled out my Noriandar deck, but I think I have four Overburdens, and I think I run three of them. It's a good card. Does it work specifically with a commander? For one of them that I have, yes. The others, no, it's just a value card, and I like running some value cards.
Right.
Like a Rhystic Study.
You run it in every deck that runs blue.
Yeah, it sits out. People get irritated with it.
They
but
target
it does
it.
The value. And but it's
and they
one
don't
more,
target your commander.
And it's one more thing that they target that they're not going to remove your commander with.
That
or
is
the one important thing you want them to remove. So yes, I agree. Does this also affect how many decks you get to play? That was kind of the other question. So if we're spending more money and we're playing more, does it affect the specific decks we play?
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Like we mentioned before, on Fridays I'm playing from like 6:30 to 10:30 at a shop, and then I'm going to go play with our pot of friends afterwards until 2:00 in the morning. I like to play a bunch of different decks. Decks either am playtesting or decks I want to play again, and you know, playing it gets boring for me, at least, playing the same deck over and over and over again. So, and I know it gets boring for if you play with the same pot of people. So it's nice to bring out some of my more consistent decks against new people at the game shop, the local game shop, and then bring out some of my more janky decks with friends. Also, I don't like playing power with friends because, you know,
it's better though to play power with friends though than it is to play with strangers. So I think we always do that, and that person plays it once.
Yeah,
and you got your fill.
All right,
and we don't have to
away.
See it till next week.
Yep, put it away.
Put it away.
You don't. You cast Omniscience once tonight. Just put it away.
But the other, yeah, right. I played Jonah on Omniscience, and then felt bad for dropping 14 Planeswalkers. And I did that when I was playing against Austin with Torbrand.
Luckily, I got knocked out of that game before any of that happened.
So he didn't have to.
I didn't have to deal with it.
He didn't have to deal with it. The other guy, I said, you know, he kind of looked at me and he looked at Austin. He goes, I can take either one of you out. And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't really have a whole lot out, but he's playing red and he could, you know, he might have something. It was not the greatest argument. I was actually making a better case against myself with what I was saying.
Right.
And then he swung at Austin. He's like, thank God.
Yeah. Did you have, and you had Joda out and everything already too?
I think Joda had been killed and it was a bad board state because I had one Planeswalker at the time. But then next turn, I was able to play Joda and Conflux. And then from there, I was able to go ham.
Gross.
Yeah, it was gross. So I would say, yeah, it also does affect that because I think the other thing is in Commander, and maybe it's just me. Well, I don't know. I'll ask both of you. Do you take apart decks when you just, I mean, I think we all take apart decks when you don't really like them. But if you like the deck, do you just kind of leave it assembled and you're like, okay, well, now I have that deck, but I don't play it a lot because it's just one of my older decks. Because I have like, I think between me and Nick, we have like 24 decks now. And there's a deck that I haven't played in like 6 months.
I used to try to be friendly to my wallet and make two decks per mana base that I put together. So like I had Galta in mono green and
Yeva
in mono green. And I would kind of like take one apart to put the other one back together and go back and forth. But I actually find that to be kind of annoying now.
Yep.
And I don't actually have Galta and Yeva. That one is actually a unique thing where that one is still like that. But now I, instead of having one mono black deck at a time, I might have, I don't know, three mono black decks at a time.
But you don't have three Cabal Coffers and three Urborgs, though. Or do you now?
I have two and one in foil.
Okay.
Because I thought about foiling out She-Ray at one point.
That's another thing is, you know, I thought the same thing. You know, you're like, I'm going to build one five color commander deck, and I'm just going to switch between two different decks.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
doesn't always work.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. You forget one card and you're like, I only have 99 here, shoot. Or I have 98 in my commander. Or you just don't want to spend 40 minutes moving them. I just don't. Yep. So when you build 2 5-color decks, you have to have 2 5-color mana bases. Yep. And then you want them
to be pretty expensive.
Expensive. And you don't want it to be expensive. But you do it. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. And I think we might be outliers here. Sure. I don't think everyone's like us. There's tons more out there like us that are spending money because they don't want to move things around.
Absolutely.
I normally just give up on a deck if I find that I don't, even if I like it and I don't play it enough and there's cards that I really want from that deck for a different deck, I normally just strip it for parts and I leave it assembled to the point where if I wanted to, I could put those cards back in it, but that hardly ever happens.
That's the state of my Ilharg deck right now, actually.
That's my my Narset Enlighten Master. I played that and it was just
Maloku or whatever.
Yeah, I it was an extra turn deck than the Narset deck was, and then I said, well, this is way too consistent and nobody had fun playing against that, and I actually legitimately felt bad playing it. And so I said, well, let me take it apart. But I had all the extra turn spells.
Right.
So I said, well, I want to be able to play this in something that might not be as consistent, but maybe when it does go off, it's a cool way, and then I can win. And so I put together Maloku, the Clouded Mirror, and it works with the new Mystic Sanctuary card, which makes it so that you can put the extra turn spell back on top of your library, return that land. And so it's an infinite in a way that not a lot of people play because it's a super expensive deck. And unless you had those cards, I don't think anyone's going out of their way to build Maloku Infinite Turns.
Right.
Did you end up getting the card from Portal 3 Kingdoms?
I did. I got the Judge promo when I was at Command Fest Chicago.
I wasn't sure if you had gotten that card. I know you said that you wanted to.
But I did. So I have every extra turn spell that I can play except Savor the Moment.
Right.
I couldn't find when I was there, and I haven't ordered it or anything, but every other extra turn spell that you can play in that deck legally is being played, and I need to get it's the blue land from World Wake. Is it Magosi the Water Veil?
That card's bad though.
It's bad, but it's an extra turn deck. I should just put it in there. You can take an extra turn, but then you have to skip a turn. No.
You skip your next turn.
Oh, okay.
But if you can stack up multiple extra turns, then in that case it's okay because then you can nullify. I don't know. But just for flavor reasons or for mechanic reasons, I should just do it. It's not an expensive card.
It's like 20 cents maybe.
It's really cheap.
Now, between those two decks, though, you did have your Edric Spy Master of Trest deck as well.
I did,
right?
And that is in the same state as your Ilharg deck. So I played the blue-green Edric deck where you draw a bunch of cards, you're likely going to draw into an extra turn, and then you just go ham that way.
Yeah.
That was just too consistent as well. And I will say no one, including me, likes to play against an extra turn deck, so I don't bring it out often. I don't, and I do not play it at the shop.
The last time I played against it, I remember killing Edric enough times where it cost you 7 mana to get him out, and I'm like, okay, I'm done killing Edric, and then you just took like 12 turns in a row.
Yeah, it's just too good, and when you're at the shop, it's not fun for anybody. They can't, you know, people come to play a game and to have fun.
Yeah.
I don't mind losing to a ridiculous combo, but I do mind losing to infinite turns, so, you know, it took me a while to realize that, obviously, because I just wanted to do it so I can say I did it.
Right.
I've done it a lot.
Yeah.
So now I don't do it very often. But no. I have the cards. I'm not going to sell out of them. I think they're cool.
Sure. And I mean, and this is not to say that, you know, you can sit down at a pod and say, okay, everyone's playing really strong decks. Let's all play really strong decks against each other. This could be fun.
We've done that.
Yeah. And you know, not to take away from that, but just don't sit down with a Power 9 deck when everyone else is playing Group Hug.
Please don't.
Jank.
Please don't. Right. And then does this affect our deck building? I think we pretty much answered that question, yeah. Which was, I think it does. The more you play, the more cards you see.
Play testing is the number one most important thing you do when you build a deck. I mean, other than putting 99 cards together.
And buying them. Yeah. And cost.
I mean, like, you need the cards. You need the cards to begin with. But then, you know, play test. Last week we talked about how to build a mana base. And number one thing is you need to play test. You need to make sure that your deck works the way that it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm. And I think the amount we play, we get to see a lot more decks than a lot of people. And we talked a few weeks ago about how difficult Commander is to get into, because there's just so many cards you have to learn, and there's so many cards that just warp the game when they come out, even if they're just an uncommon. You know, Narset, Parter of Veils is game warping when she comes out, even if she's not doing anything, she's game warping. And I think that we play up to potentially 4 times a week, we see a lot more cards, so we know what we do and don't want to play.
Right. I mean, and just in terms of those game warping cards, just look a little bit even further back. I know it's banned now, but Paradox Engine was the core of like 20 decks out there at one point.
And even if it wasn't the core, you would just include it because it costs 5 colorless and you were just more consistent.
Yeah. It just helped. It helped almost every deck out there.
Which was the reason it got banned, because you didn't have to do any work to make it good.
Nope.
I mean, you could do way more work.
You needed things that untapped to make it work.
You know,
most decks
play cards on tap.
Yeah. Sol Ring happens to be a pretty good card.
I still think that card shouldn't have been banned. But
you don't think Paradox Engine should have been banned?
I'm a believer that most of the cards on the ban list for Commander right now don't need to be banned, though.
Okay, tell me one more. For example.
Gifts Ungiven.
Okay, and what does that card do again?
So you search your library for up to 4 cards.
Okay.
With different names, mm-hmm. which in Commander, I mean, as long as you're not looking for basics.
Sure.
Easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you choose an opponent. They put 2 of them into your graveyard. So then the other 2 go to your hand. It's 4 mana. I mean, there's intuition in the format.
Yeah.
Which is 3 mana to search for 3 cards, and you only get 1 of them. But they work in similar ways.
Yeah. They do.
And I think the biggest concern for the reason that it was banned originally is because of Unburial Rites plus Elesh Norn or Iona, but Iona's banned now, so it's not Iona anymore.
Sure.
Because it says up to 4 cards, so you can just grab Unburial Rites plus creature. Yeah. And they have to put both of those into the yard. But if you think about it, that's turn 5, maybe turn 3, or turn 4.
Yeah.
And that's not really that appropriate. Like, a turn 4 Elesh Norn isn't that oppressive in Commander, I don't think. It
hurts token decks.
It does hurt.
Deck metas.
But, like, I don't know, there's 3 other players. Somebody's probably going to be able to have an answer.
I've seen someone reanimate a Vorinclex on turn 2.
Right, that's so much worse.
That's so much worse. I agree.
So, I don't know. Like, Gifts Ungiven is definitely one of the things that I think should be unbanned, like, first.
Can we just get Coalition Victory back?
Coalition Victory doesn't need to be banned. That's a lot of hoops you have to jump through to win the game.
But I think it's because there are cards that are all 5 colors when they're out on the battlefield. Assuming you have it.
How much mana does Coalition Victory cost to cast?
Is it 8 Wooburg and 3?
Yeah. So the fact that you need 8 mana, I mean, sure, you can cheat it, but
I guess
you're going through a lot of hoops to have a Transguild Courier plus
Transguild
plus cheat out a spell plus have 5 different land types at the same time. It's a lot of hoops. I don't think it needs to be banned. I mean, sure, it says I win the game, but
I'd like for, and I don't know if it's unbannable or not, because making infinite mana in the color green is fairly easy as well.
Yeah.
Biorhythm is on
Shaman of the Forgotten
Shaman
Ways.
Shaman of the Forgotten Ways. You have to pay 11 mana, tap it, and have ferocious.
Ferocious
creature power greater than 8? 4.
Formidable.
Formidable 8? Mm-hmm. I think it was and you have to have creatures with power 8 or greater.
Yeah, formidable is just you need to have 8 total power.
8 total power, yeah. Ranges. And then you tap it and pay 11. Yep. And each player's life total becomes the number of creatures they have.
Yeah.
But that was just the spell, and the spell itself is banned, but not Shaman. Yeah. And at that point, it's like having the spell because Shaman's coming out on turn 3 or 4.
Right, and if you have Shaman, that means that you can activate it and stay alive. Whereas if you just play Biorhythm with no creatures on board, you're dead.
So. Right.
I really, strictly for flavor, wish they would unban Braid's Cabal Minion. It's a really oppressive card, and I totally understand why it's banned, and I don't disagree with its banning, but it's one of my favorite characters I've ever read a story about, because she's just crazy, and then she touches the Mirari, and she's like, whatever, you can't make me more crazy. I'm already crazy.
Well, we digress
a lot.
So we play a lot, we spend a lot,
yeah,
changes our deck building, and affects how many decks we play because we buy so many decks and we have a lot either half assembled, disassembled, mm-hmm. sitting and collecting dust. But
if there was such thing as an MTG grenade, my living room looks like one went off. Yeah. My computer room looks like one went off. Mm-hmm. And currently my basement looks like one went off.
I cleaned up a while ago in the game room and I tweeted about it. Mm-hmm. And I think I got so many sympathetic responses. They were like, you're not alone. It's not just you. But yeah. So I do think, yeah, playing more affects a lot.
A lot.
If we only played once a week, or once a month, or once every other week,
I'd probably have like 4 decks, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I think there's a lot of people like that too, and that works.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to come and have fun a few times a month.
Yeah.
You want to move to our final segment?
The final segment of the week. Da-da-da. Commander of the week
is
Ayara, the first of Lochthvain.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I'm surprised that it's a mono black commander.
Are you?
From this guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From me. No one would ever expect me to play mono black. No. Yeah, it's Lochthwain.
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 Or if you pronounce it German, Lochthvain. Lochthvain, I guess, technically, because the I comes after the A.
I didn't know the throne was set in Germany.
It's Shania Twain?
Shania Lochthwain. So, yeah, so this is going to be the first time I get to talk about one of my mono black decks, which are near and dear to the darkness that is my heart and soul.
And this is the segment where we break down a commander by its parts in just a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, explanation of the segment. That would help. Ayara, first of Lochthvain, is a legendary creature, obviously, the commander. Elf noble for black, black, black. She states, she's a 2/3. Whenever Ayara or another black creature enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. She also has an additional ability where you can tap her, sacrifice another black creature, and draw a card. So this deck really revolves around ETB's enter the battlefield effects of black creatures. So trying to either put out a ton of black creatures, maybe tokens, or she herself is a card draw engine. And you can do all the fun things that mono black does. And she also has the added benefit of being black, black, black for color cost, which is both a drawback and an advantage, for devotion, abilities, which best black card. I keep talking about it pretty much every week. Gray Merchant of Asphodel.
Yeah. Very good.
Also known as Gary.
Gary.
Gary is amazing. And I hope we see a reprint of Gary in the next Theros block so I can play him in standard.
You know what? I mean, you might.
5 mana is fair for that card. I mean, it's not broken. It's printed at common.
I mean, but I would like to see new cards that care about devotion.
Yeah. Yeah. So like all the black devotion cards and then also Gary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the way that I have Ayara built is a pretty standard mono black reanimator deck. So you play value cards that when they die, they do something like Kokusho, the Evening Star. When he dies, each of your opponents loses 5 life. You gain life equal to the life lost this way. And you play reanimation spells like reanimate, animate dead, to bring these creatures, to cheat these creatures back from your graveyard. And you'll play cards like Entomb and Buried Alive to put creatures into your graveyard from your library and reanimate them. However, there are specific cards that need to go in your Ayara deck. And, you know, need is a loose term, but you should probably put them in here because they're not even that expensive. That just synergize so well with Ayara. One of them that I'll start with is an instant win in most cases. It is called Plague of Vermin.
Yeah, this is a special card just for this deck.
Just for this deck.
It literally does not work this way with any other commander.
Doesn't belong
anywhere
else.
And I really like these kinds of cards.
Right. That's specifically why I picked this deck, because it is a unique mono black deck. And this one actually is my mono black deck that is completely built right now. Also building a Son of Curic deck off to the side via Shadowborn Apostle, but we'll talk about that later. So, Plague of Vermin, for 6 and a black, it's a sorcery. It says, starting with you, each player may pay any amount of life. Repeat this process until no one pays life. Each player puts a 1/1 black rat creature token into play for each 1 life he or she paid this way. So you got 40 life? I say, the card has to resolve before anyone starts bidding life, which is very important. Card resolves, says, okay, I'll bid 35. Wait, what's your life total? Is it 34? I'll bid 34 life. It's like, oh, I go down to 6? All right, I have 34 AR triggers on the stack. I'm going to drain you for 34, and I'm going to go right back up to 40, right, and you're dead. So it is 7 mana. Black does have the capability of ramping pretty well, so you're going to want to put cards in there like Cabal Coffers and Urborg, and even though AR is black, you're going to want to put colorless ramp in there like Soul Ring and that kind of stuff.
What about Cabal Stronghold?
You can put Cabal Stronghold in.
Budget option.
As long as your mana base will allow. As we talked about last week, when it comes to mana bases, monocolored mana bases allow you the most opportunities to put utility lands in. I take that to a high degree, to the point where Cabal Stronghold isn't that great in my deck. I play cards like Nykthos Shrine to Nyx, Temple of the False God, Ancient Tomb, you know, all these cards that aren't basic swamps. So it's not always a great card to have in there, but if you have a budget mana base, it's or just more swamps, you don't necessarily need these extra mana cards, and sometimes they do hurt you. Ayara costs black. You need 3 swamps to get her out.
Right.
So, sometimes it does hurt you. Couple other cards specific that are really good in this deck. Endric Sar, Master Breeder. For 4 and a black, whenever you cast a creature spell, put X-1/1 black thrall creature tokens onto the battlefield, where X is that spell's converted mana cost. So he's on the battlefield. You cast a 5 mana creature, you get 5/1s that are black. Ping for 5.
Yep.
Aberrant Overlord is a 5 black, 6/6 flyer. When he comes in the battlefield, you get a 1/1 black harpy creature for your devotion to black. And Ayara's got 3 devotion, and he himself has 2. So you're automatically going to be pinging for 5 when he comes out. Needless to say, any other creatures you have out there.
Right.
Bitter Blossom, and it's
more aptly named Shitter Blossom.
Yes, the Dread Horde Invasion. both bring out a 1/1 token at your upkeep for 1 life. You know, you do pay 1 life, and you get the 1 life right back. Ophiomancer, fantastic card. At every upkeep, you get a 1/1 black snake if you don't control the 1/1 black snake. So
if you have a sack outlet, you always get a snake.
So, and as we know, Ayara herself is a sack, but you do have to tap her. However, there is a card that is commonly played in the Atla Eggs deck called Thornbite Staff, which is an equipment.
Run that in this too?
I actually do run Thornbite Staff in this as well, because every time a creature dies, it untaps.
Sure. I didn't think about that. That's very good.
Yeah. So it's kind of a really good draw engine. And then I guess my favorite card combination in the deck is actually the creature is probably, again, only played in Ayara. It's called Sangreer Autocrat. For a 3 and a black, it's a human. It's a 2/2 that says when Sengir Autocrat enters the battlefield, put 3/01 black surf creature tokens onto the battlefield. When he leaves the battlefield, exile all surf tokens. But you're getting 4 triggers when you cast him on a Yara.
Mm-hmm.
You can combine it with an equipment called Nim Deathmantle that says whenever a creature dies, you can pay 4 colorless, return that creature to the battlefield with Nim Deathmantle attached to it, and it becomes a black zombie in addition to its other creature types. And then you can get the 3 surf tokens back. If you have an Ashnod's altar out there or a Phyrexian altar, you can do that infinite amount of times and ping your opponents to death.
Gross.
Some other budget options would be Infernal Genesis. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. He or she puts X11 black minion creature tokens into play, where X is that card's converted mana cost. You're milling things into your graveyard, which is what you want to do in a reanimator deck anyways. Plus, you're getting a bunch of 1/1s every time it happens. Each one of those 1/1s drain one. That one costs 4 black. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Get those black creatures out. And then if you can't kill your opponent with the tokens, just reanimate Gray Merchant 12 times in one turn.
Yep, that does it. And we'll post a deck list for that later this week.
Yeah. I'll slap that up on Architect.
And then we'll post it on Twitter.
We will tweets it out.
Tweet. I think that's it.
Gah.
it's a hawk.
It's like a Twitter, but with
it's like gah. Wait, which one was that bird that comes in on Arena, but it's clearly a hawk noise? Gilded Goose.
I have
gilded
a bird deck.
You do have a bird deck. Gilded Goose on Arena literally screeches like a hawk when you play it. You're like, what is this? It should have been honk,
it's
honk,
a honk, goose.
Honk. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate all of your support. And if you'd like to contact us, you can find us. You can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Squeaky Pig
MTG.
No,
it's not MTG. It's just
because Twitter.
Because he's the most bestest.
The only one.
Also, take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about. We'll go over those on the next episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. Thank you, Austin, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Go ahead, take a look for the YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. And watch our episode and let us know what you think of it. And then you'll see me on camera in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, playing some Pioneer.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. I did not like that. That was
Mono Black IR going, bye-bye to your life total.
It was like a weird baby noise. like you see that in a movie. But
a scary movie.
A scary movie with or little baby noises. Bye bye.
Do you play Withering Boon in any of your black decks?
I don't even know what Withering Boon is.
It's a 2-mana counterspell in black.
No, I play Imp's Mischief instead to just redirect spells.
Yeah, this counters creature spells.
Only creature spells? You can have your creature. I don't care about your creature. Unless it's Acidic Slime going for my Urborg or Cabal Coffers, then I hate you and I will be vengeful for you from the rest of the game.
Well, that's why you have Withering Bone.